Good morning, gentlemen. My name is Doug Shake. The name of this workshop is The Word. First, let me tell you a little about who I am to get it started. I'm not a theologian sort of person. I'm an electrical engineer. So does anybody in here know how many electrons to a coulomb? Times 10 to the 18th electrons to a coulomb. If you had a coulomb of electrons past a point in a second, you'd have an amp. It takes a volt to push it if you had an ohm of resistance. So that's where coulombs come from. So that's where I come from. I'm a numbers person. I'm a double E. So I kind of approach this with the type of person I am. I wanted to start with just talking about what the Bible tells you about itself. What does it think of itself? And so I've got six verses down there. But probably the one that we all know the best is 2 Timothy 3:16, and I like it in the Phillips. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching the faith and correcting error, for resetting the direction of a man's life and training him in good living. And 17, the scriptures are the comprehensive equipment of the man of God and fit him fully for all branches of his work. Well, all branches of his work. I mean, how does that help an electrical engineer? If you expand your mind to realize that God created everything, he's the God of electrons. Sometimes you get to a piece of broken gear where you just have to put your head down and say, God of electrons. You know, sounds funny. But God can really help you with everything, and God's word will help you even if you're in an electronic shop somewhere with how to get along with your customers, with other people. You know, how to have the right heart for what you're doing. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. If you are witnessing to somebody, you got to use the word of God. You can't just be your version, your opinion versus their opinion. Because the word of God itself is powerful. Never try to defend it. An example. Somebody tries to speed through the gate at the Marine base. So the Marine pulls out his 45 and says, halt or I'll shoot. And the guy says, well, I don't believe in 45. So he starts explaining it. He starts field stripping it and explains how, you know, first you got to get it in a chamber, and then when you pull the trigger, you know, the recoil throws the slide back. Baloney. He just uses it. The Marine doesn't have to explain how a 45 works. And so you try to use the Word of God because it's the thing that's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Of course, there's techniques. I mean, there's 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts reverence Christ as Lord, to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you. And yet do it with gentleness and reverence, the three parts of 1 Peter 3:15. But mostly, the Word of God is capable of taking care of itself. Romans 15:4, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope when things really start going bad. They've put you on the bridge with the nastiest senior officer, and so you purposely walk up to the flight deck, and you walk across the flight deck just before midnight, because you got the next 4 hours on the bridge, and you're looking up at the stars, and you're praying to God, please, God, get me through another 4 hours and help me keep my mouth shut. How do you get to do that? Well, hopefully you've been having your quiet time and you've been getting ready for that particular situation to hit you. Let me jump a few and talk about David talking about the Word of God, how he liked it. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And then in Psalm 119:47, for I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. The next verse, I will lift up my hands towards your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. I think that kind of stands alone. I mean, we're supposed to end up loving the Word of God. Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel, Ezra 7:10. So Jotham became mighty, it says in 2 Chronicles 27:6. So Jotham became mighty because he ordered his way before the Lord his God. And one of the reasons is this was the instructions of a new king, when a new king was to become king of Judah, after it, the children of Israel split in half. And when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book a copy of the law, approved by the Levite priests. He was to make his own copy and have it sit there next to his throne. When I became a Christian, young sailor, going to Electronics A School, Great Lakes, Illinois, just below Wisconsin, I got a New Testament and I would sit on one of these toilets, you know, no top seat, 360-watt light bulbs somewhere in and about the gang head, reading my Bible with a little notebook, writing the things down. I hadn't run into the navigators yet. Didn't know there were verses I was to memorize. I think I had about a quarter of the navigator's verses written down in my notebook. Didn't know why I was picking them, but they were going to be foundation verses. Let me jump to Bible probability factors. I went to Wikipedia. According to Wikipedia, a manuscript is a handwritten portion of the Bible. About the 1500s, Gutenberg started printing them on a printing press. So we're talking about documents before printing presses. Made a nice spot in history in order to collect statistics and numbers. 5,800 Greek manuscripts, 10,000 Latin manuscripts, and 9,300 manuscripts of the Scripture. 25,100 manuscripts of the Scripture, handwritten pieces of Scripture. The next largest document, 459 manuscripts of Homer's Iliad. The amount of witnesses, the quantity of Scripture, the ability of translators to go back and create for us the version of the Bible that you read has got so much data available that it is just beyond imagination of any other document there is on the earth. Even if there are some that have scribes that misspelled, put in the wrong words, recopied items, left things out. There's so many documents that the translators have an excellent ability to go and compare these documents and to come up with the translation of the Bible that you have. So anybody that says, oh, you know, how do you know it's true? Like I said, you don't have to try to prove it, but this is for your heart, just to know that 25,100 manuscripts of the Scripture and 459 for the next most copied document. So how was the Bible inspired? Got a few verses. 2 Timothy 3:16, I've already mentioned that all Scripture is inspired by God. Moses said, and this is out of the NET Bible, and Yahweh said to Moses, write this on a monument as a memorial in a book. Some of the people got direct words from God. Write this down. Other people, Ezekiel as an example, has some real strange things, like he saw wheels in wheels and so forth. Daniel says in Daniel 12:7, and I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream. He was also telling you what he saw. He saw the man above the waters of the stream. And he raised his right hand and his left hand towards heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time and times and half a time. And that when the scattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things shall be finished. Now, some of the people that gave us the Scripture, like Moses, he understood what he was writing. God said, write this in a book. Write this as a memorial. And he wrote things down. Exodus 17:14. Exodus 24:4. Then Moses wrote all the words of Yahweh. So he understood what he was writing. He heard words. He was told to write them down. He understood what he wrote. But when I got to Daniel 12:7, Daniel heard the man, but then he began to tell you what he saw. And then he heard the man say that these things will come to an end, all the things would be finished. And Daniel says, I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, meaning Daniel, O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? That's Daniel 12:8, Daniel 12:9. And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. So we've got inspiration by words from God, which the author knew, words and images, and things that the author did not understand and told, go your way. This isn't really for you to understand. This is for the end times. The Lord even allowed the author in Scripture to have a bad memory. 1 Corinthians 1:14 says, I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. The next verse, not one of you can say that you were baptized in my name. Then he stops and he says, I did baptize the family of Stephanas, but I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. And since that's in our Scripture and considered Scripture, we understand that God allowed the author to use his own memory and even to indicate that he couldn't remember. In 1 Corinthians 7:10, to the married I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. Okay? The wife should not separate from her husband, but if she does, she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and the husband should not divorce his wife. In 1 Corinthians 7:12 and 13, to the rest I say, I, not the Lord. So the Apostle Paul is indicating that he didn't feel he had direct inspiration for the next sentence. He's honest enough to tell you that. I mean, that's key. Because we're talking about honesty and integrity. We're talking about the other times that he wrote. He was sure he was giving his readers instructions that he had from the Lord. Because here's one in which he says, I, not the Lord. That if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her. And if any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him. You know, I really love the integrity, the honesty, the straightforwardness. Paul being able to say, you know, as far as I'm concerned, this is my instructions. Now, one of the standard things, you have the word hand. And the first item in the word hand is the pinky, and it's hearing. Now, let me read the verse, Romans 10:17. So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes from the preaching of Christ. Let me mention reading, and then I'll give an illustration. Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he who reads aloud the words of the prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written herein, for the time is near. Next to my bed, I have a little Android tablet. I have Wi-Fi in my house, so I have it hooked to Wi-Fi. I have it hooked to YouVersion. It's a application, it's a website that your application can go to. You can pick a version of the scripture that some excellent reader who knows how to pronounce all those hard names so that you don't have to say the word hard name as you're reading the Old Testament. And you're reading it at the same time. So I'm there and I'm going through the kings of Israel, and this expert pronouncer and reader fellow is reading it to me while I'm reading. So I'm hearing it. I'm using my pinky and I'm using the next finger simultaneously. And he's pronouncing those hard names while I'm reading it, so he's helping me do that. And he's also metering for me my eye reading. I'm not speed reading. I'm not zipping over. I'm not trying to jump down. I'm sticking with him because he's reading it with me. And boy, that really helps. Because you get to something like the end of the book of Judges, and Caleb is whipping up in the hills, and he's got this other city off to the side, and he says, who is going to take that city? I'll give them my daughter. That guy, my daughter. And I would have said, okay, hard name. Well, okay, his name is Othniel. That's because this guy read it to me. So Othniel goes up, and he takes the city, and he gets Caleb's daughter. And she's a spunky gal. And she pipes up and says, hey, we need water for that field you gave us, for that land that we collected. So Caleb says to his daughter, okay, you get the upper spring and the lower spring. And I thought, oh, that's pretty neat. I mean, who's Othniel? Well, you see, this guy just read it to me while I was reading it and told me that it's Caleb's brother's son, his nephew. The next book is Judges. What's the name of the first judge? Hard name. No, it's Othniel. I didn't know that. I mean, that was like a month and a half ago. I found out for the first time. Here I am, 73. I found out for the first time that judge number one of the book of Judges is Caleb's nephew. So, there's one of the things that you can do, grabbing two of the fingers of the word hand, is use something like YouVersion to read it to you while you're reading it. Okay, studying it. Acts 17:11. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Berea doesn't say so. That's the name of the city. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. It was the city of Berea. And they studied the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So check it out. And boy, do we have at this time all of the electronic things in order to say. Does it really say that? I mean, is that what it really says? Okay, what version says it slightly different so I can check multiple versions to see if that's so? If you're computerized enough, I'm only 73, so obviously I'm not all that computer literate. There's a free Bible software called eSword. You'll probably have your last sheet in your handouts. On the top half, it shows you how to get to eSword. Absolutely free. You can get costly additional cost versions of the scripture, but you can start off for free. And you can run it free for years if you like. And you can look up all sorts of versions, the literal translation and the revised version and all sorts of translations to see what the scripture says. If you get to a hard spot, you can start reading contemporary version of the scripture for a while until you say, I wonder if that's what it says in the King James or the English Standard Version or one of the more modern versions. And then you can run them parallel and check on them. You can click on the little binocular symbol, put in a couple of words, find out how many times the scripture says the word. Page after page after page. 397 times I found the word. While I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord. And so you can go down and check on the word of God, the word of the Lord, the word God spoke over and over and over by doing a search in that eSword software. So I really highly, highly recommend it. Memorizing it. Psalm 119, 9 and 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to thy word. I have laid up thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Funny little illustrations about memorizing the word of God. I'm on the bridge of the ship. We're just pulling into Athens, Greece. I became an officer by then. I turned to the captain and I said, Captain, in the book of Ecclesiastes it says, and he kind of looks at me, because sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the hearts of the sons of men are fully set to do evil. He says, you've got somebody who needs to go to captain's mass, don't you, lieutenant? And I said, yes, sir. And he grabs a hold of the phone and he calls the XO. And he says, I want you to announce that captain's mass is in a half an hour on the bridge wing. You know, everybody that needs to see me needs to be brought up to the bridge. Because I had a guy who had gone ashore in Naples and gotten drunk and had his wallet stolen. And he went to one of the doors between this bar and went upstairs and harangued this couple. Had nothing to do with the bar. They just were renting the apartment. And so the police came and threw him in a dungeon. I mean, they're not just called jail cells in Naples, Italy. They are dungeons. You know, they've been holding prisoners for the last 200 years. And they're not particularly nice places. So we got him out. We paid off his fine. But he needed to make sure he didn't get drunk again. He needed to see the captain and get restricted to the ship. So every once in a while you can pop off a memorized verse and just, you know, it's the right one. You don't know whether the captain's going to receive it okay. But then I was the special sea and anchor detail officer of the deck, so I had a little extra grace. Meditating.
What was he drinking?
Well, if it was in Athens, it was ouzu. But I don't know what he was consuming there. You know, also, just for yourself, you think you're normal, right? You're just like any other buddy in the church. But let's say you're memorizing verses and you're doing Bible study and you're trying to 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, reverence Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. It's three pieces, right? Someone says, you know, pastor's not here. You know, Wednesday night prayer meeting, you got 15 minutes. You get to do it. You know, you can be ready. You know, you don't have to be a seminary graduate. Meditating on it. And who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, that's Psalm 1:1. Nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. What I'm trying to do is be ready for God to use me. I became unemployed, terminally unemployed, I call it. Sometimes they refer to it as being retired. I heard one guy say he'd been retarded for 6 months. But I'm now terminally unemployed since October the 1st. Lord, use me, okay? One of the things I'd like to really memorize is the first five verses of the Beginning with Christ packet and the topical memory system. That's because I want to help someone else. I mean, there are a lot of verses I want for me, but I don't just want to aim my Christianity at myself. Am I convinced that Jesus loves me best? Yeah, he loves you best too. Would God have sent his son to die on the cross just for me? The answer is yeah. But hopefully we got lots of brothers and sisters in heaven that we're going to just have a great time with. But yeah, God loved you so much. But you want to use this Christianity to help others. So this whole thing about the Word of God, how it's inspired and all those things, is so that you can help someone else. Colossians 1:28 into Phillips. So naturally, we proclaim Christ. We warn everyone we meet, and we teach everyone we can, all that we know about him, so that if possible, we may bring every man up to his full maturity in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:28 into Phillips. Now that's not one of the topical memory system. That one was for me. That one in 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you. You want to be ready, you want to be prepared, and you want to work on knowing the scripture enough so that you can help someone else. I got a little thing here. Okay, digression. Why was I asked to give this presentation? Because I really love studying the Word of God and finding out about it. Cliff Notes. Real, honest Cliff Notes, Old Testament and New Testament. Don't particularly recommend it. Non-Christian wrote it. He got about half of the stuff right, so I guess he's, you know, the top 50%. Some of the things are rather goofy. He decided that there are two people called Isaiah, and that the second Isaiah was the one who really codified the fact that there was a God for the whole earth, not just the God for the Hebrews. And I was thinking, wait a minute, the very first verse in the Bible, in the beginning, God created. And here this guy, you know, PhD, he decided that that idea really started with Deutero-Isaiah. Well, interesting information. That's a pretty good one. This Christian pastor and a couple of others assisted him in doing like one of those Windows 7 for dummies. Here we've got God's word for the biblically inept. That's like me. Really a very good document to go through and check on some of these different things. Southern Kingdom and Northern Kingdom and what their difficulties were, and to actually go through and say, okay, here's the list of the kings. Rehoboam, evil. Abijah, evil. Asa, good. Jehoshaphat, good. Jehoram, evil. And back and forth, which one's evil, which one's good. Then when you read the scripture, you kind of are already ready for, you know, you get to this guy, you get to that guy, you know, which direction do you see him going in? Yes, and I recommend something to help you. This one was, Larry Richards was the author, Starburst Publishers of Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
So that's accurate what you got there.
Yes. Right.
Sometimes I get a little nervous on some of these books because I don't know if they're writing in sarcasm or that kind of thing. Sometimes I get a little nervous when I see other books like that because I don't know, are they being sarcastic? Are they treating it lightly, like it's not being treated right?
Yeah.
I get a little nervous with that, but I know you also need to expand your horizons too.
Yeah.
I write it in the way God wants you to expand your horizons.
And just like the Berean church. Now, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they studied the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So, yes, I had Dake's annotated New Testament. But this particular guy, Dake, was kind of off to the side. And, you know, and I hit a couple of things. And I says, no, I don't think I'd go that far. I can look back before I became, and I can told me that her parents, you know, didn't celebrate Christmas like the rest of us because it was really Jesus. She started explaining that to me. What was I, third or fourth grade? And it's almost as if I can look back now, because I didn't become a Christian until after I was in the Navy. But it's almost as if God, my Father, was chasing me around the living room saying, I'm going to get you. And I was scampering like, you know, a 1.5, 2-year-old, you know, just, you know, the little boy is trying to get away from you because you say, I'm going to get you. And God was saying he was going to get me. But God does not sin. When I sin, it's me. So when somebody says, God is so powerful that everything I do was determined by God for me to do. No, the sin I commit and just the stupid that I do is me being stupid. I'm allowed to be me.
You can't blame someone else for your own mistake.
Exactly. But we've got so many things that will help us. Let me read for you a testimony of a fellow. I didn't have that background. I grew up in Vietnam, where 90% of the Vietnamese are Buddhists. My dad joined the army and fought in the war on behalf of South Vietnam against North Vietnam. But he was killed when I was 3 years old. When the communist North took over the South in 1975, they took all contacts with the South Vietnamese government and imprisoned them in concentration camps. My family was among those who fell into that category. Since my father had died, the communists confiscated our home and brought my mother and me to one of the new economic areas, which is tucked away in the mountains far from the city. It became a place, the new economic area, because we had to earn our living under extreme cruel conditions. It would be more appropriate to call it a labor camp. We had no decent housing, no medicine, no school, and it seemed no future or hope. 1 year later, in 1976, in the harsh environment, so I escaped and ran to the city in a home of a relative. The communist government did permit me to live in the city. They were always on the lookout for people who had escaped from the labor camp so they could imprison them. Therefore, I lived in constant fear of my life. I learned on the street and didn't wear shoes. The only ones who wore shoes were government workers, the new regime. While I was shining a man's shoes, he said, do you want to have changed? Have a better future by escaping Vietnam. But how could I do that? I had no money. Nevertheless, I answered him, yes, what do I need to do? And he replied, if you believe in Jesus Christ, your life and your future will be changed. You know, this is probably a government employee, a communist party member, government employee, who begins to witness to his shoeshine boy. High probability. I was a little disappointed by his answer. We were taught in Buddhism, whenever we went to the temple, nothing to offer this Lord Jesus. He said, no, no. I thought to myself, since I have nothing to lose, why not give him a try? I told the man I wanted to have this Jesus in my heart. He guided me to pray to receive the Lord Jesus, even though I didn't have the faintest idea what I was doing. And then he gave me a Gideon New Testament. This is the Word of God, he said. You should read it. Since I had learned to read and I liked books, and the shoeshine business had a lot of time off, I finished reading the New Testament in 1 week. One day, the man stopped by to visit me again, and I asked him if he had any other books because I'd finished that one. He said, it is the Bible. You need to read it all the time, for a lifetime. Then he taught me how to pray, and he said, if you want something, just keep praying. It is like a son asking his father. After accepting Jesus and reading the Bible every day, I had a strange, unexplained feeling in my heart, the fear and anxiety for the future and lamenting over the brutalities of life had been replaced by peace and joy. The desire to learn more about this new religion was kindled in my heart. I visited a local church, as I had been instructed to do. How surprised I was that the believers were friendly, genuinely concerned for me, showing love and concern, which was absent in the Vietnamese society at the time. Everybody was looking out for themselves. I delighted in hearing the people sing hymns and songs during the worship services. They had joy in their hearts. This was so strange for me because we Buddhists were always supposed to pretend to be suffering and to be sorrowful when we were in the presence of Buddha. But in the presence of the Lord Jesus, Christians are joyful. I went to church and listened to the sermons. I burned with passion in my heart to teach the gospel. One day I went to the pastor and asked him, how do I serve God? I felt that serving the Lord would be the most valuable and important mission. The pastor looked at me. No way, he said. Vietnam has no seminaries, and anyone who learns to preach or teach others will be arrested. Looking at my downcast countenance, my pastor smiled and said, I can show you a way to become a preacher. If you read the Bible 10 times, completely through from Genesis to Revelation, you will have finished elementary school. If you read it 20 times, you would have completed junior Bible school. If you read 30 times, you would have finished high school. And if you read the Bible 40 times, completely through from Genesis to Revelation, you will have finished your Bachelor's of Arts degree in the Bible. Yeah, you know, I mean, here I am in America, Bible versions all over, chronic things, books. Here the guy has the Bible and probably nothing else to help him out, and he's told, you know, probably get you started if you read it completely through 40 times. He said, I began to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, get on my bicycle for 30 minutes, get to church. We prayed from 4 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock in the morning and then went to work. Church began to grow so fast that the rapid growth of the church alarmed the government. Began to persecute the church, threw the pastor in jail for 3 years. So I got 18 people and started my own house church. Okay, what is the guy doing today? Somehow he got to the United States. His master's degree is from Biola University. His another master's degree from Golden Gate Theological Seminary. And his doctor of ministry from San Francisco Theological Seminary and his PhD in political science from. So what is he doing? Well, he's traveling to Southeast Asia, to other pockets of Vietnamese-speaking people, because he can't go back to Vietnam. Escaped in that boat that there are 20, 30,000 Malaysians. So he's going to Malaysia and starting small. Anyway, God put his hands on some very interesting people. Bible translation. Remember, there's 25,100 manuscripts. So one of the books, this guy here, explain a bit about some of those old languages. They don't have capitals and lowercase. And a lot of times they'll leave the spaces out. They'll just kind of run the words together. And you as the reader are supposed to figure it out. He says in some cases, like in Hebrew, they left the vowels out. You are supposed to put the vowels in yourself. So you read this line and it's just Paul, no space A, no space servant, no space of Jesus Christ called to be an apostle, Romans 1:1. And you look at it and your eyes go, you know. The reason I even found this out is you got to give a little forgiveness when you're reading your Bible and somebody says, well, you know, are you sure that's what it really says? English, we've got it so codified. We've got spaces, we've got punctuation, we've got capital letters and lowercase. We are careful with our tenses and so forth. The early Bible was written in Aramaic, Hebrew, and Greek, and then early translated into Latin. Just to kind of warn you as one of these egghead type people who may know the difficulty to give you a hard time, you probably need to know it too, that it's difficult to give us our translations, except for the fact that we've got these 25,100 manuscripts for our translators to look at. So we really are in very good shape. In the early days, it wasn't particularly easy to go from one language to another. And I did a little bit of that. I helped get the Georgian Gospels, Acts, and part of the New Testament into Esort. I showed you the Esort. The Georgian language does not have any capitals. And it kind of slams things together. And all I could really do is learn the numbering system so I could recognize the numbers, so I could make sure that I put some extra spaces between verses and between books and so forth, and help get that to the author of Esort so that it could be added to Esort. But that's what that's about. This is from the discipleship email from the Navigator's website. The Bible was not given to increase your knowledge. And I mentioned that before. I want God to use me. And so I want to be able to aim the knowledge that I get to help someone else. And, oh, I love the strange things in Scripture. Cyrus is mentioned by name in order to indicate that 70 years after the children of Israel were in captivity, Cyrus let them go back to Jerusalem. Daniel served until the first year of King Cyrus, Daniel 1:21. Ezra 1:1, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made proclamation throughout all the kingdom and also put it in writing. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judea. Whoever is among you of all the people, may his God be with him, and let him go to Jerusalem, which is in Judea, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. Okay, this is a Persian guy who had just conquered Babylon. And he makes this decree, and you wonder, did he really? Well, here's a picture of the way he disseminated that decree. It's a ceramic tube, easy enough for the Pony Express to carry, had his decree cast into dozens of these things, and then sent the Pony Express of the day out to all the different sections of his extended kingdom, letting the people go. And I love stuff like that. But I want to make sure that I aim, you know, my study of the scripture to help others. You will find on the back table, you can grab African Study Bible. Not written by Americans. Jesus wasn't an American, by the way, because you knew that. This Bible study is written by all of these hard-named, African-named guys for their consumption. You have a copy back there you can take. See how the Africans do it. And they're doing very well. There are amazing things happening throughout the world if you keep your mind attuned to how God is moving in different parts of the world. And Africa is one of the, Southern Africa area is one of the strong growing locations. The wheel illustration, the bottom spoke, is the word spoke, and I like it being down there. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, and Joshua 8. Joshua 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. I tried to aim this presentation that the word holds everything up. It helps you pray. As an illustration, our society doesn't like, well, it likes giving people praise, but we're kind of trained not to accept praise. If you try asking a Marine if he's a hero, he'll say, oh no, man, I'm not a hero. I'm just a normal Marine. How do we praise God when we're just not used to praising? As big as I could make the font go and get it on a sheet. And this sits up on my desk. 1 Chronicles 29, 10, 11, 12, and 13. Blessed art thou, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou rulest over all. In thy hand are power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and give strength to all. And now we thank thee, our God, and praise thy glorious name. Because we need to praise our God. So the word spoke helps the prayer spoke, the one at the top. And it helps the fellowship verse. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you. It helps the witnessing spoke. It helps the obedience spoke by getting to know God's word. 1 John 2:14. I write this to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write this to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the evil one. So there's the obedience spoke. You're also going to hit verses in the Bible you don't like. Just thought I'd warn you. Romans 12:17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. Oh, Lord, I want to take revenge. No, don't do it anyway. Walk across the flight deck, pray that God would let you get through that 4 hours with the nastiest senior officer on the bridge when you're only junior officer of the deck. Later, I got to be officer of the deck. And then the captain came on the bridge and he says, Lieutenant Junior Grade Shake, you embarrass me, sir. Now, I thought I was doing fine. He says, you're the only lieutenant junior grade that is an officer deck on a bridge of a capital aircraft carrier, and I can't have that. So they spot promoted me to lieutenant, and the guy who had put the paperwork in was that nasty senior officer that I had to pray just to get through another 4 hours. So you'll hit verses in the Bible you don't like. It's okay. It's not for you to fix the Bible. It's for the Bible to fix you. Okay, I'm going to end with Jude 24, another verse that you should probably memorize in order to be able to praise God. Jude 24 and 25. Now, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you without blemish before the presence of his glory with rejoicing, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. Okay, anybody have any questions?
A lot of the young ministers nowadays using the ESV translation.
Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, the Australian fellow used it. I was checking on which one he was using, and he was using that one. English Standard Version. And one of the reasons is the King James, translated in 1611, was actually modified in 1725 and referred to as the Authorized Version. But then it began to be called King James again. So most folks don't know whether or not they're working on the 1611 version or the 1725 version, because both of them are now called King James. Okay? It was upgraded a few times, but when the Revised Standard Version came out, most of the Bible-believing Baptist group was so dead against it, because the King James had been in existence for so long, that even though we're talking about 1954, when the Revised Standard Version came out, the Revised Standard Version was just kind of emotionally, you know, held down. Then the NASB came out, and the NIV, and so forth. The ESV is almost the RSV, but the ESV translators have decided to not particularly want money. So the ESV is very inexpensive, electronically absolutely free. You have to still pay for the NIV, the New International Version, and the NIV people began to want to make a living out of it, and they made multiple versions of it, a gender-neutral version and a homosexual neutral version and so forth. So I really do like that ESV, the English Standard Version. It's easy for people to get their hands on. They are making good leather copies of it so that you can have one that looks as fine as any of the others. And it's a good scientific version, because if you get with eSword, if you put some stuff next to each other to check on it, the literal version tries to actually aim the English words the way the Greek would have them positioned sometimes. So the literal version is a little hard. But if you check the ESV against the King James or the literal, you'll find that the ESV is really an excellent version for today. And if you are trying to set your heart to help other younger Christians who don't have heavy wallets, aiming yourself towards others, helping others, then the ESV is an excellent one for you to aim those people into. They may not be used to suffer little children to come unto me, or 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to men. That's the way I first memorized assurance of victory. But God will not suffer you to be suffer? You know, those are words. King James, if you come from the Bible Belt, you might be used to them. But if you're a Lutheran kid from New York City, you're probably not used to the King James language.
Do they have a memory pack that focuses on the Bible, on the Word? They did it one time.
Yeah.
There was a memory pack in the Navigators where it was just verses on the Word.
Yes, and you know,
I think it was a big cord. I think it was kind of.
Yeah, it was an added thing.
At one time, but it wasn't like a whole bunch of verses. It was probably maybe 25 or 30.
Yeah, that's where I memorized stuff like, so Jotham became mighty because he ordered his way before the Lord his God. You know, I'm sure I got it out of that, the word pack. But haven't seen it in a while. Because I was a Lutheran kid from New York, I had the RSV. I was one of the early RSVers. Before the Navigators had RSV as one of the alternates for the topical memory system, I had to write everything down. You know, so I even thought I would shift to 5x7 size instead of the little Navigator size. I was a sailor, of course, in the early years, so I did have the official size that went on the... The reason it's the Navigator pack is this size, that the sailors had a little pocket deep inside their jerseys down here that would fit in. So that's why the Navigator's pack was that size. But I like a see-through pack. And I use business card size that my printer can print them out. So I can add them. So my cards are slightly larger. And this thing was designed for business cards, and so I can, you know, see all the different sides. I have one I typed out that's got the whole APAC on one card. I've got Live the New Life at the top, Christ the center, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in, and then I can continue on. You know, and I got the next verse is the next line, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with. And then I can keep going. So I've got 5 cards for the topical memory system. It only takes 5 cards because I've already memorized them. I just need help. I just need something to, you know, get me started. Sometimes you get in a situation where integrity really gets fouled up with somebody. A very famous preacher in our town was president of the National Evangelical Association or something like that. Founded a church in his living room and it became a mega church. 10, 15 acres in size of land and 2 or 3,000 people coming to a service, and really dumped it on the integrity side. 2 Peter 1, 5-8, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue and virtue with knowledge. So that's the way I do it. Any other questions?
Yes, sir. You said there's around 25,000 copies, handwritten copies
exactly.
of the Bible. But you also said the next closest ancient manuscript that was written out like that was the Iliad.
Right.
How many copies of that did you say there were?
459.
And that's the next...
largest number of manuscripts of any other next document.
And what is that document?
Homer's Iliad. The Iliad and the Odyssey by Homer, you know, the Trojan Wars and Achilles... heel and all that kind of stuff.
And I knew there was more transcripts of the Bible than there were of Shakespeare and Homer and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and we're talking about not twice as many, you know. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you coming. I enjoy doing it. Oh, there's stuff back there on the...